And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me.
Sitting there, I really decided not to. Maybe at the end of the service. My brother this morning preached a very powerful sermon. He touched somewhat what I feel the Lord has put upon my heart and my mind to bring to you this evening. I'd like to read the second epistle of Peter, the first chapter, starting at the fourth verse. I'm going to read it through, and then maybe go back and discuss a little bit what's contained in these verses. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. In the fourth verse, he says, unto us are exceeding great and precious promises. Promise of eternal life. Promise of God's Spirit in our lives. Promise that God would neither leave us nor forsake us. Promise of healings when we're sick. Of answered prayer. Of help in our daily lives. We have many promises through the Scriptures. Peter says that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He goes on to say, beside this, giving all diligence. I take from that that we can't approach it haphazardly, that we can't just sort of slide along, but that we have to apply ourselves. When you give diligence to something, you put your whole effort into it. Even though it's hard, even though it takes time, we apply ourselves to it. Peter says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, moral goodness, to virtue knowledge. I believe in this instance, knowledge of the Scriptures, knowledge of God's Word and His will in our lives, a knowledge that we can go to the Scriptures. There's not a single obstacle or a single trial or temptation. I don't believe there's a single thing that comes to us in this world that we can't go to the Scripture and find an answer. That we can't study and search and approach God and find the answer. Find the comfort, the strength to overcome whatever may be that's beset us. A hope or a promise. Keep in mind the word diligence. And to knowledge, temperance. Temperance in all things. We can do or indulge in too much of any one thing. We can eat too much. We can sleep too much. I think we have to be temperate in what we read or what we watch on TV or what we allow ourselves to think about. To temperance, patience. Patience in well-doing. Patience in afflictions that may be upon us. Patience to wait. Wait before the Lord. A brother this morning said that if we ask the Lord what we can do for Him, that He will tell us. I think sometimes if we kneel down and we ask the Lord, well, Lord, I want to do something for You, and we get up and He hasn't told us anything or nothing changes, that we feel that the Lord hasn't got anything to do for us. That the Lord can't use us. I think sometimes we need patience in our service to God, as well as patience in our afflictions, patience one with another. Maybe someone has a habit that we don't like, does something that irritates us. Instead of getting angry or upset with that person, let's apply patience. Patience, godliness. As I go through here, I looked up a lot of words in the dictionary the last couple of days. So a lot of what I read is from Webster's. Webster says that godliness is the state or quality of being godly. You know, you'd think that one would stop there. But if you're a godly person, you just about got it made. Peter goes on. He says that godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Peter sort of takes us on a stepladder, so to speak. Starting with faith and adding to that virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, until we come to charity. He says, if these things be in you and abound, not just in us, but they abound in us, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can picture an orchard. Many beautiful trees. Those trees can be barren. And those trees can be unfruitful. Those trees have to be cultivated and nurtured, pruned. These trees have to be cared for to bear fruit. The same with our spiritual lives. We have to nurture our spiritual lives to be fruitful in the Lord Jesus. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Words of counsel, I believe, from Peter. Peter leads me to charity. I'd like to spend some time just going over charity. I'd like to read it in the Book of Mormon to start with. And again, go back and speak a little bit about charity. I'd like to start on page 767 and 49th verse. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confessed by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind, envies not, is not puffed up, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if you have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Charity suffereth long. Webster says that suffer is to tolerate or undergo something painful, long, and patient enduring. As we go through this, let's try to apply these words to ourselves. Maybe we can make a mental picture some of the qualities that we must possess for to have the pure love of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Maybe along the way we can see where we fall short, where we may have to change, where we may have to add something to our being. Suffereth long and is kind. Kind, friendly, gentle, tender-hearted, sympathetic. Are we always friendly? Are we always gentle, tender-hearted, or sympathetic? Or do sometimes we show the other side of our countenance? Maybe we're not too sympathetic to somebody in their problems or their trials. Maybe we feel that they've had what we think is a trial or a problem too long. Maybe they should be over it. We've turned a little bit hard-hearted towards that person. Cease to help them or cease to pray for them or to lift them up. When maybe what they need is a little pat on the back or a little bit of lifting up. Envy's not. Envy, discontent and ill will because of another's advantage or possession. Desire for something belonging to another. Are we happy with our state? Are we happy with our station in life? Or do we look at our neighbor or our brother and sister and say, gosh, I wish I had what they had? Maybe it's their personality. Maybe it's their house. Maybe it's their car. But we should be happy with what we have. You know, there's a scripture. Says, I've never seen a righteous man forsaken or a seed begging bread. The Lord knows our needs. He knows what we need to survive, what we have to have. I believe He'll provide that. But let's not over desire. Let's not want those things that, well, maybe they're beyond our reach. Not saying it's wrong to want to provide well for your family, drive a decent car. But let's not let it possess our thinking. Let's not let it consume us, because it can. It's not puffed up. Inflate with pride, undue or exaggerated praise, or being vain. Seeks not her own. Webster says that seek is to search or look for. I think not to be caught up in ourselves in this case. But mindful of the needs of others, to put others ahead of ourselves. Their needs, their desires, what we can do to help them, to put their spiritual welfare maybe ahead of our own. Not to put stumbling blocks before them, but to lift them up and to guide them, to direct them. Not easily provoked. Provoked is challenged or stimulate to action, excite to anger or passion. Paul says to be slow to anger, Just not take offense quickly. Whether it's with somebody at work, they may say something or do something that we don't like. At school, in a store, maybe somebody gets ahead of us in the checkout line. Just not get angry. And above all, just not have anger one for another. As we read about charity and as we study it out, I think sometimes it helps to maybe go above our humanness, and we have to put aside our passions, our desires sometimes, and look at ourselves and look at others with the mind of Christ. Thinketh no evil. To form an opinion or habit in mind, to keep continually in mind, obsessed with, if we have charity, our thoughts are pure, our desires are pure. If we have charity, our minds are not on evil. Our minds are not on those things that would draw us away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we think evil. If we have evil desires in our hearts, we don't have charity. Whatever that evil thought may be, whatever that evil desire may be, and it may be different for each of us. So I don't think the same as you, and none of us think the same as each other. Charity thinks no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. If you rejoice, you experience joy and gladness in a high degree. You're full of joy. We can experience joy. We can rejoice in those things that are not of God. I believe it was Paul that said that we're not to take pleasure in those that do iniquity. But we can't have joy that's wrong. It says, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but in the truth. If we rejoice in the truth of God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our joy is indeed full. We will indeed experience joy and gladness in a high degree. And experience a joy and a gladness that will not pass away. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things and endureth all things. If we bear something, we sustain a burden, or capable of withstanding. To endure all things is to stand pain or something like that. To put up with something, last or continue. Pondered over those two for a while. I thought I'd read something that Paul wrote. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. I believe Paul was a man of like passions as us, capable of fear, of pain, of discouragement. I really don't think that he was a much different man than any of us. He dedicated his life to Christ, worked unceasingly to spread the gospel and to bring souls to Christ. But being a man, he had the same passions, the same temptations as you and I. I believe that he had charity. I believe that he had the pure love of Jesus Christ in his heart. I believe he bore and endured all things for Jesus Christ. Reading in the 11th chapter, I'd like to read the 23rd through the 28th verse. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure." "Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings oft, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching and hunger and thirst, in fastings oft, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." I read that, point out that through all Paul's afflictions, he never wavered. He endured them. He bore them. I don't think he complained. He knew he's in the service of Jesus Christ. When you have the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, your burdens become light. When you have the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, trials and temptations seem to fade away. Said he believes all things. If you believe something, you accept it as true, to hope with some confidence of obtaining it. It also means faith. Believe all things. I think we could say that definitely to believe all things that are good and true, but also to a certain extent to believe those things that are false. To know that they are false. Not to say that we believe a lie or to believe in a falsehood, but to know and discern between what is true and what is a lie. And to make that choice, the right decision. So it's hope of all things. Desire good with expectation. What is our hope? What is our hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Our hope is eternal life. We hope, have a confidence in our hearts that all things that God promised us will come to pass, both in this life and the life to come. Peter said, great and precious promises, both in this life and the life to come. They're ours. Ours for the asking. Ours for the taking. All God requires is our service. It says, for charity never faileth. The love of Christ will never fail. If you read what Paul writes about charity in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he also says, he said, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. You don't find that in the Book of Mormon, but Paul uses that word vaunt, which means to speak vainly or boast or brag. If we have charity, we don't need to brag. We don't need to boast. It says, does not behave itself unseemly, not fit, decent or becoming, improper. If we have charity, we don't do anything that is not becoming to a disciple of Jesus Christ, that is improper. If we have charity, I believe it's something we have to work at. I don't think it's something that we reach out and receive. Oh yes, the Lord helps us to change. He helps us to overcome our temptations. But I don't believe as a gift that it is ours. In the gifts of the Spirit, you don't find it mentioned as a gift. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Something that we bear. Charity, it brings a change within us. It brings us closer to Christ. It gives us the mind, the heart, the thoughts of Jesus. To have charity, to have the real love of Jesus Christ, we have to make decisions. And you know, we make decisions every day, small ones that affect our family, maybe affect our job or whatever. We make hundreds of decisions every day. They say that the biggest decision we'll ever make is buying a house. I don't believe that. I believe the biggest decision we'll ever make in our lives is who we're going to serve. Most of us have made up our minds who we're going to serve. To what degree we serve them is entirely up to us. I can't make someone else serve God better, more fully. You can't make me serve Him any more than I want to. That's a decision and a choice that we make within us. And those that haven't made up their minds to serve, one day will have to. There'll come a time when we'll have to make a decision. Come a time in this world when things will become a little tougher than they are now. Brother said this morning that we become a nation that has lost its resolve. I would hope and pray that we're not a church that has lost its resolve. That when the tough times come, that we'll make our decision. I've already made our decision who we're going to serve. And those of us that haven't have the wisdom and the courage and the strength to do so. You can't serve two people. You can't serve two masters. For you hate the one and love the other. I mentioned before that we have to overcome our humanness and think with the mind of Christ. If we do that, and we come upon situations in our life where our human emotions and our human thoughts come to the forefront, maybe before we say something or do something, if we could just stop just long enough to ask ourselves, what would Christ do in this situation? If He were here, and He's seen me or any one of us say or do something that may not be right, what would His action be? What would He say? What would He do? Would He lift them up? Or would He run them down? I can't find where Christ ran anybody down. He spoke the truth, but He didn't run anyone down. If we have charity, we can't say that we love a brother or sister, and in the same breath, say that this is wrong with them or that's wrong with them. Can't be done. If we have charity, we have to accept other people's differences. Whether it's a difference of opinion, or whatever that difference may be, just because someone has a different opinion or a different idea than I do, doesn't necessarily make them wrong. Maybe I think that everybody should wear a blue tie. If somebody else thinks that they should wear a green one, does that make me right and them wrong? Sometimes we have to accept differences of opinion. Sometimes we have to allow differences. Just because we don't all think alike doesn't mean that one's right and one's wrong, that we should speak ill or look down on the other person. We can't speak evil one of another and have charity. James wrote several verses on speaking evil. I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to get into it too much. Except to say that the tongue can be an evil weapon. I've seen people almost destroyed by the spoken word. It seems to be much easier sometimes to say something bad about somebody than it does to say something good. For some reason, we can find more to say about someone's faults than we can about their virtues. Yeah. speak from experience. I've done the same thing. But if we have the pure love of Jesus Christ in our hearts, I don't think we'd have the desire to speak evil, but to lift somebody up. I firmly believe that if we don't have the pure love of Jesus Christ in our hearts, if we don't have that charity, that we can't really serve God. We can't serve without love. I think it's impossible. Impossible to serve without love. As we go through life, as we grow, as we change, as hopefully we develop into more Christ-like people, as we grow in love, we bear fruit. Paul says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those things must be in us. Just as the things that we read from Peter and read about charity must be in us. For if they're not, I don't believe we can serve. Not to the best of our ability, anyway. We have to search the Scriptures to obtain charity. Have to pray, have fellowship one with another. Avoid those things and those places of temptation. I'd like to reread what Peter wrote. Just the 5th, 6th, and 7th verses. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. Charity suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. Paul say, we're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. Thank you.